You're listening to the Rockford Symphony Orchestra podcast, where we look to inform about our upcoming events and give insight to behind-the-scenes happenings at the RSO.
This is Phil Davidson, and with me today is Rockford Symphony Orchestra music director Yaniv Attar, and we are discussing the first concert of the 24-25 RSO season, Tchaikovsky and Rachmaninoff, happening on Saturday, September 14th at 7:30 p.m. at the Coronado Performing Arts Center. The program actually begins with a piece by Polish composer Wojciech Kilar entitled Orawa. I believe that Kilar belonged to the Polish avant-garde music movement of the 1960s. Is that correct?
Yeah, so like many other composers, especially post World War II, they were really trying to find themselves, trying to find new order, new musical language, and he was one of them. And he wrote some works that I would say less friendly to the normal ears, but he quickly turned away from it. And actually, most of his success as a composer came from writing film scores. And I think for him especially, it's kind of a perfect combination, almost in a way that John Williams did in America, because John Williams wrote a lot of, you know, serious music. I say serious, but, you know, not film music, but most of his music is film. I think it's in the same way Wojciech Kilar, his music is that way. So we know him mostly for his film scores. But he wrote some fantastic concert music. The Orawa that we will play is probably his most performed work.
Well, you mentioned scoring films. I think he started out, of course, in Poland scoring films, and then
right.
Eventually English language films. Can you elaborate a little more on this part of his career and maybe some of the better known titles of some of the films?
So his most successful film score and the one that put him really on the map was Francis Ford Coppola's movie, the Dracula movie that he did. I forget which year it was, 1992 maybe? And that was the one that really gave him the attention in America. And he wrote some other film scores. One of my favorite films in general was The Pianist, Roman Polanski.
Great film.
Wonderful, wonderful film. And funny, I love that film, but never knew that Kilar was the one who wrote the music. And only after I fell in love with this piece, Orawa, when I read about the composer, I was like, oh, he wrote the music to that film. And then I listened to the soundtrack a little bit, and it's gorgeous.
I don't remember a lot about it, but now I want to go back and listen
right,
to it.
Right, right.
Well, just tell us something about Orawa, the selection that you're performing.
So this piece is supposed to bring out the festivities and joy at the time of harvest. So it's very connected to nature and the celebration of harvest. It's a piece that is written only for strings, but it's extremely interesting piece because, you know, normally you have a string section and every section, you know, plays their own part. But here, almost everybody in the string section has a different part. So they are, so you know, like the first violin, for example, is divided into five different parts. The second violins are also, I think it's four parts. The violas in three or four parts sometimes, etc. So it's a string orchestra, but it's like a huge orchestra within the string section. And almost everybody in the orchestra is a soloist. And it's written in a style that's called minimalism. Basically, you take a little cell and it's repeated many, many times to create this kind of a groove thing. And throughout the piece, it builds up in such a fun way. You can really hear that festivity and repetition of doing something like harvesting. It's a lot of fun for the orchestra to play, and it's always been an audience favorite. So I'm really looking forward to presenting it at the beginning of the season here.
Well, I mean, it's great to have a new composer.
Right.
But this guy isn't new.
Right.
We move on to Tchaikovsky's Violin Concerto.
Less new.
Yeah, less new. Of course, he obviously had many popular successes, but his life seemed to be punctuated by personal crises and depression. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
I mean, yeah, of course. You know, part of his depression was, of course, trying to disguise his homosexuality during his lifetime. He was even married to a woman he basically hated for 3 months.
Oh, boy.
And then he basically left her, but they didn't really get divorced until he died, until after his death.
Mm.
You know, he wasn't, in his lifetime, it not always was as successful as a composer, especially with his first three symphonies. He always had self-doubt. And actually, the violin concerto that is today one of the most popular violin concerto in the whole repertoire had one of the worst reviews in the history of classical music. So, you know, for him, it was a major disaster as a composer. Thankfully, the piece wasn't abandoned, and look where it is today. But I think it should remind us, when we play new music today and we have bad criticism, and then remember that those pieces that we love today more than anything else, you know, also had bad receptions. Almost everything. We played La Mer for the end of season last season, and that first performance was a disaster. So we should always remember that to give those works a chance to grow and live with us so we can really appreciate them.
Very much like movies.
Very much like movies, yeah.
Right. They get panned and then they become classics.
They're like wine, you know, it gets better with years.
You did mention that he got some bad reviews, Ken. Why did he get these bad reviews?
It's usually the case with new pieces. You know, it's the first time soloists play something like this. Tchaikovsky definitely pushed the envelope a lot for, you know, the playing capabilities of violinists at this time. This was dedicated to Leopold Auer, who did not actually premiere the piece. And if I'm correct, I don't think he premiered the piece. But he, even though he denied it, he said that the piece was unplayable. And then, you know, the orchestra, it was the Vienna Philharmonic who premiered it. It wasn't rehearsed well. Lots of mistakes that were in the first publication of the parts. So all this combination and not knowing the piece, and it's demanding for the orchestra and for the soloist, usually results in a performance that doesn't do justice to the piece. And then audience can't appreciate it that way. And in many cases, again, I'm bringing up La Mer again because we just did it. Orchestra was poorly rehearsed. There's an interesting story later we can talk about when we mentioned the Rachmaninoff Symphonic Dances, because there's a quotation there from a different piece of his that was also a disaster at the premiere, which it never played again during Rachmaninoff's lifetime. We'll talk about it later, but in any case, so that usually makes a bad performance that doesn't long for, let's hear it again.
Well, you know, I read that at some point in his career, he was said to be one of what was called the mighty handful, or the five.
Right.
What's that all about?
He was it was a group of five composers. It was him, and it was Rimsky-Korsakov was there. I think Mussorgsky was there too.
I believe so.
Funny enough, none of them were academically trained as composers. But they wanted to create a movement that basically was a Russian answer to Western composition style, but that will be, you know, specifically Russian. So, I mean, there are some elements, especially with Tchaikovsky, who was so influenced by composers like Beethoven. For the violin concerto, he was influenced a lot by Lalo Sinfonia Espanol. So there are influences, but then he brings the Russian voice. So he was a major part of that movement.
Well, you've chosen to perform the violin concerto.
Right.
Why did you choose that piece? And give us something about the character of that piece.
The idea of this actually came to me from a concert that the Rockford Symphony did during the Search year, mm-hmm. and it was the Rachmaninoff and the Hollywood Sound.
Oh, I remember that, yeah. Yes.
And because I wanted to do a piece of Rachmaninoff in the second half, I thought, okay, let's bring the Hollywood Sound to it. I chose the Orava by Kilar, who's a, you know, he wrote music for film. And then I wanted to bring a concerto that would be, you know, beloved. And Tchaikovsky, I think, you know, pre-movie time, if there's anybody who was writing with those memorable melodies that you can hum and feel like you've sung them all your life, I think Tchaikovsky would be the one, definitely. So I thought that would be a perfect choice. And, you know, again, I mean, part of the reason why this concerto is so popular, Tchaikovsky had the most tremendous talent, I think more than any other composer, for writing unforgettable melodies. His talent for melodies is, there's just no parallel. So I thought, you know, with a Russian program, it would be absolutely perfect to bring that beloved violin concerto into this.
Well, you've mentioned Rachmaninoff, and he is the last on the program, and specifically the symphonic dances. He was described as one of the last great representatives of Romanticism in Russian classical music. Who were some of the other well-known composers that influenced him?
So it's true, he was really the last Romantic composer, and actually he was criticized for it many times, saying that his compositions were not modern enough, especially for somebody writing in the 20th century. And he was definitely influenced by composers like, you know, the Mighty Five that you mentioned, but also composers like Scriabin, really romantic Russian Alexander Scriabin. And actually, I think there's at least one section in the symphonic dance that to me sounds a lot like Scriabin. But actually, in this piece, I think more than any other piece of Rachmaninoff, you can hear even influences of other 20th century composers like Debussy. There's a lot of Spanish flavor in this music, which is not very typical of Rachmaninoff. So I think in this piece, he brought all these influences together with his own music, and it creates an incredible masterpiece. I see this piece, the Rachmaninoff Symphonic Dances, as maybe the most underrated masterpiece of the 20th century.
Well, now people will definitely want to come and listen to that. You mentioned, we were talking about the influences from other composers, but those influences, as I understand it, gave way to his thoroughly personal idiom. Could you describe that for us?
I think did it very masterfully for this, to bring those influences and bring his own voice. Again, more than any other work that I can think of his. This is his last major composition for orchestra. And in many ways, I see this work almost as an autobiographical kind of work that he brings his struggles as a composer, his struggles as an immigrant living in America. He wrote this, I think this is his only orchestral composition that was written entirely in the United States. And we can talk about it later, that, I mean, he brings a lot of these elements and of loneliness as a immigrant, as a composer, into his music. I mean, you can clearly hear Rachmaninoff, but all those other influences, like I mentioned, French music, Spanish music, are evident in this. But again, it's still very personal Rachmaninoff.
Well, I read that he went through several periods of depression that caused him to, I think he just stopped writing compositions.
Right.
Is that correct?
Yeah, for a few years, didn't write anything. And you know, it's, I would say, common with composers. And as depressing as it sounds, but it also, when something does come after that period, it's usually incredible. And I think this is an evidence for it. And I'll give you an example of this piece. at the end of the first movement of the Rachmaninov, there's a quotation from his first symphony. We talked about bad performances. When his first symphony was performed, the composer Glazunov was conducting the piece. Apparently, he was drunk during the entire rehearsal period and the performance. It was rehearsed poorly. Rachmaninov was so embarrassed that he left before the end of the performance. He left the hall. The review was atrocious, of course, and it was never performed again in his lifetime. In the symphonic dancer, at the end of the first movement, he brings a quotation of the first theme from that symphony, which is in minor, but he brings it in major, which would have known maybe to a handful of people, because most people haven't heard it. But I think for him, it was very personal about his struggle back then as a composer. So, you know, something extremely personal that he brings out. But of course, only after his death, we knew that, and now his first symphony is performed more regularly.
Symphonic dances is described as rousing. How so?
I'm not sure what rousing means in that sense. But
lively, probably.
You know, you would expect symphonic dances to be happy, cheerful. Mm-hmm. It cannot be more far from it. Not what you would expect, not dance music especially. Symphonic dances, there's three movements. Originally, they had titles, which were Noon, Twilight, and Midnight. And you really have to think of the time it was written. This is 1940. He is living in America as a Russian immigrant, but he was very well aware of what was happening in the world, you know, World War II. He never said it was about it, but I cannot imagine that it wasn't on his mind. And from the very first movement, it sounds more like a military march than a dance you would want to dance to. I mean, you hear the horrors of war in the first movement. Definitely. In the middle section of that first movement, you hear there's a very brief section for a saxophone solo, which is a very rare instrument in the orchestra. You don't hear saxophone in the orchestra a lot. And I think it serves for two purposes. It's the only time it plays in the whole piece. I think two purposes. One, maybe he wanted to bring an American touch to the piece. It's such a melancholic melody, and I think it really symbolizes his longing for back home to Russia, which he never came back to after he left. But also, you know, the saxophone is a foreign instrument to the orchestra, and I think it symbolizes also his feeling as a foreigner in this country. So this is the first movement. The second movement is the waltz. So he's like, oh yeah, waltz is a dance piece, but not the Viennese waltz you're used to it. It sounds grotesque. It sounds like Doomsday. I would compare it to, you know, Ravel's La Valse was about World War I. I think Rachmaninov waltz from Symphonic Dancers is about World War II, and everything that implied from it. And the third movement is my favorite. It's basically a duel between two main themes. One of them I like to call the Spanish themes because it really sounds like Spanish music. Spanish rhythms and Spanish harmonies, and they're in constant fight with a theme that Rachmaninov was obsessed with, and that's the Dies Irae theme, which is the Day of Wrath, I think, how it translates. And he used that theme in at least 17 compositions that we know of. And basically you hear those themes, every bar is either Spanish music or the Dies Irae theme. They're like fighting each other. It's sometimes they like merge. It's really exciting. So if you want to know who won the battle, come to the concert and see who you think's came on top.
So will you be continuing Sound Bites during this new season? If so, remind us about that.
So yes, Sound Bites is the lovely lunch interview we have at Monatisi. People have come and they have lunch there. and they can hear an interview that I conduct with the soloist, talk to him about or her about the upcoming program, the concerto, and I also talk about the other pieces on the program. It's a wonderful, intimate opportunity to get to know the soloist and hear about the program. So I hope you can join us for that.
Well, what a great program to kick off the RSO's 24-25 season. You don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss Tchaikovsky and Rachmaninoff and Kilar, presented by the Rockford Symphony Orchestra on Saturday, September 14th at 7:30 p.m. at the Coronado Performing Arts Center. For more information about the concert, tickets, or more, go to rockfordsymphony.com or call 815-965-0049. This is Phil Davidson.
And I'm Yaniv Attar, music director of the Rockford Symphony Orchestra.
Thank you for listening.